If you can just grab that and pass it down to your neighbor, we'd really be appreciative of that. We do want to wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day today, and we celebrate you today and hope you have just a splendid week and a fantastic day celebrating with your families. We want to highlight several announcements in the bulletin, and there is a box in the narthex table for cards until July 5th for Martha Clark, and one for Shirley Bayshore until July 12th. So I just want to say keep up the fantastic work with sending those cards to wish people happy birthdays and encouraging one another. It truly does make a difference. We also want to point out, Jeremy, if you throw your hand in the air and wave it like you just don't care, he's going to be in the back at the end of the service to sell pork barbecue sandwich and dinner tickets. So if you haven't received those yet, we'd highly encourage you to buy your tickets today. I think it's a $5 donation or whatever amount above and beyond that you want to give. It goes towards Nigeria. So a fantastic cause and a delicious meal to eat along with that. So see Jeremy after the services for those if you don't have a ticket yet. We also want to highlight that the Lebanon Valley Brethren Home is going to be having their chicken barbecue on July 25th. And their tickets are on sale now through the end of June for $8. And if you love barbecue, chicken barbecue is one of my favorites. Pork barbecue is another favorite. Actually, if it has barbecue in it, you can put it on the top of my list. I love barbecue. It's a fantastic thing to share in a meal with. We also just want to mention the Men's Fellowship kickoff is on Saturday, this coming week. It's 7 a.m. at the Myerstown Dutchway Restaurant. So it's an all-inclusive Bible study and sharing a meal together and a great time of manly fellowship, if you will. So be sure to come out at 7 a.m. on Saturday. And Bible school craft needs, continue to bring those in. The large soda bottles, 2 liters, the plastic peanut butter jar with lids, and science lab items like beakers and things along those lines at Sunspark Labs, July 20th to 24th. Spread the news about that, and we'd love to pack this place with lots of kids. And then for annual conference, if you can keep in mind, we're going to be supporting the work of the Metropolitan Ministries. And you can help by donating such items as soap, shampoo, conditioner, toothpaste, toothbrushes, deodorant, shaving cream, disposable razors, size 4, 5, and 6 diapers, and men's, women, and children's socks. So think about what we might be able to do to help at annual conference. You guys are always great at bringing in loving donations for those causes. We want to ask you to, if you're near a father, lay your hand on a father. We want to pray a special blessing over them this morning, and just reach out your hand towards them, and then we'll open with our opening hymn this morning. Father God, just thank you for fathers. Thank you for the opportunity this morning to be able to share in the life of many of the fathers here. They have been living quite the legacy, and we're just thankful that their light is shining. And we just pray your blessings over them as they lead their families, as they lead their spouses, and just show your wisdom and your guidance through the Holy Spirit to others. And just thank you for each one. We thank you for those that have passed on before us and the memories that they have given us, and pray that you would just flood those memories into our minds today as we think of those fathers that we've had during our lifetimes. And we're just so thankful, Lord. And we just pray your blessings over them. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. We invite you to stand this morning, greet one another, and join in our opening hymn, He Leadeth Me, number 599. Oh no, that's for Marlene. Yeah. Mine's the little one I just put right here.
Yeah, because it was turned this way so nobody could stand in the pulpit when I got up here this morning.
Yeah, it's all good. It's a nice day. It's not that hot in here actually. Yeah. Feels good. The Lord calls us to cast our cares and anxieties upon him, and I invite you this morning to share in your joys and concerns as we lead into our pastoral prayer this morning. We do ask you continue to pray for Diane Long's mother. She had fallen and has 5 broken ribs, so you can imagine the pain that she's in right now, and just ask your healing prayers over her through Jesus as well.
I have a joy and a concern. Is this going through? Lloyd had surgery last week and for his thyroid, and he came through that with flying colors. The concern is that the tumor that was removed was diagnosed as malignant, and so he's going through tests now to determine what kind of treatment he'll be getting. So keep him in your prayers, and we'll really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
First of all, happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And we have a joy. Yesterday, we celebrated our 51st wedding anniversary.
Wow, give a round of applause. Good job. Congratulations. Amen.
Again, I'm asking for your prayers for Curtis. He called the other day. We're doing a food run today, and they are considering a possible early release. So pray for the decision, whatever decision they're going to make. Thanks.
Thank you.
Let's continue to remember Nancy Miller in prayer. She's recovering from surgery that she had, I think, the other week.
Thank you. Between the services, I happened to check my email, and we got an email from Pastor Jonathan Bream, who serves for that in Brooklyn at the mission location we served at, and he sent a thank you to those that painted the roof. They were experiencing some leaks, and with the amount of rain we had, he said no wetness was found on the floor. So he just thanks the mission team and those that went on the roof to paint the roof to keep the rain from coming in. So great job with the Brooklyn mission team, and he thanks us for being there, which was a joy, very much so. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, just thank you for the opportunity to be here as brothers and sisters in the faith. Thank you that we can gather and share our prayer concerns, knowing that we serve a God that hears them. Lord, this morning we just want to lift up Lloyd Moyer to you in a very special way. Lord, you know the test that he's having. You know the treatment options that are available. But Lord, we also recognize that you're the master physician. And we're praying for a miracle, Lord Jesus, that cancer would be removed in Jesus' name and the treatment options wouldn't even be needed. But Father, we know that we go through trials and we go through different diseases in this life, and we just lift up those that are recovering from various surgeries. We think of Nancy Miller, who had back surgery, and just pray for relief of pain as she goes through her long recovery after her back surgery, Lord. And we think of those that are taking other treatments right now and facing the unknown and not knowing what the next day is even going to hold. And we just pray for those individuals that are suffering as well this morning, and pray your peace and your comfort upon them. We just want to lift up those that are in the decision-making process for Curtis. And Father, we know how much you love him and love his family, and just pray that if that early release would be possible, Lord, that you would just make it be part of your will and your plan for his life. And may he just experience your grace and your mercy this day. And we think of Carl Graby and lift up him this morning as well, and pray that you would just continue to allow his recovery process to go well after his surgery, and just pray that you would just enliven him and just enliven Louise, and just let them know how much we love them and more so how much you love them, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for those that are on our hearts right now at this very moment. And think of those that have lost loved ones. We think of Mary and her family, and just pray for comfort for them after the loss of Mary, their their mother and their loved one. And we think of Ryan Kissling and the loss of his father, Lord, and just pray you would just be with him as well. And we just pray, Lord, that you would continually impress upon us the need to show our concern and our love for each other. And we just pray for those on our list and of prayer concerns this morning and ask you to just protect them, to guide them, to allow them to know that you're a God they can turn to amidst their trials and their sufferings, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that we can do so. And during these next few moments of silent prayer, Lord, we just lift up those prayers on our hearts and just ask that you would also hear our prayers of confession. And it's in Jesus' name we ask that you would hear these things. God, we think of our marriages, we think of our responsibilities as parents and grandparents, and just the need to continually show our loved ones the love of our Lord. And we just pray as we continue to celebrate anniversaries, we congratulate Pete and we congratulate Carol and celebrate with them this day and many others, Lord, that are celebrating anniversaries throughout the year, and just pray your blessings over marriage and ask them just to continually love you, that they might know how to love each other. And we just thank you for fathers again, Lord, and just pray your blessings on each of them. And thank you for letting us gather here in this place safely and without harm to be able to worship you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to join in Wonderful Grace of Jesus, number 150.
Thank you.
God's grace, such a wonderful thing this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We think of the grace that we receive yet is so undeserved, but we turn to our Lord this morning with our offerings, and we pray that we would just give with cheerful hearts. Let us pray. Father, thank you for blessing us in so many different ways. They're so numerous, we can't begin to count them. But Lord, we just turn to you this morning out of thankfulness, out of cheerfulness, out of complete joy, for we know the salvation that awaits us. And we pray that we would just give out of that heart of joy and cheerfulness. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us. Thank you for the opportunity to share this wealth with the community and this church to make a difference. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. the children to come forward for the children's moment this morning. Good morning, good morning. How are you this morning? Good. I'll give you one of the cups. Don't worry. Here, Graham. All right. So good to see all you guys this morning. You guys having an exciting summer? Yeah. Great summer. Family vacations. There's always exciting, right? Almost summer, you're right, almost summer, very true. So we have two cups, and Olivia and Graham are going to hold those up in the air for you. Can you hold those up so that everyone can see them? What's wrong with those cups?
They have holes.
They have holes in them. So we have two different options to fix the holes in those cups. They're both tape, but there's a mega difference between these two tapes. Does anyone know what this kind of tape's called? No, this is the Scotch tape. Very good, Lashane. That's the Scotch tape with a Dutch accent, Scotch tape. Duct tape. You live on a farm, so you know all about duct tape, don't you? What have you ever used duct tape on the farm for? Fix pipes? Yeah, this morning we've used it to fix exhaust systems when they have leaks, and we put duct tape on the exhaust to patch those. But we're not going to actually pour the water in, but duct tape has a unique quality. Do you know what the unique quality about duct tape is? Think of the word duck. This is actually spelled D-U-C-T, but originally it was D-U-C-K. What do we know about ducks? When they're in the water, what happens? They do that as well. Does the water absorb into them, or does the water go away from them on their feathers? What does the water do on a duck's feathers? It goes away from them. It does, indeed. And would you believe that this duct tape has duck qualities in it? Yeah, it does. And it makes it waterproof. So if we tape one of these cups with duct tape, and we tape one of these cups with what Lashane called Scotch tape, which one do you think is going to hold the water in it? The duct tape. And why again?
It's waterproof.
And it holds the water. Yeah, very good. So duct tape is actually one of the most amazing things you're ever going to be introduced to in life. So for Christmas on your list, it comes in any color you can imagine. So you can ask for pink duct tape. You can ask for camouflage duct tape. How about it? It comes in any color you can think of. Do you have a bunch of duct tape at your house? No? Dad fixes things the right ways with his cars, huh? That's good, Matt. That's good.
Mommy has rainbow.
Rainbow duct tape. I forgot about that one. But we're going to... Penguin duct tape. I forgot about those. They have character duct tape now. It's so...
Zebra
duct tape. Yeah. In the sermon, you'll have to pay attention to something someone used duct tape for. It was pretty funny. I got a kick out of it myself. So duct tape... Duct tape has something in common with Jesus. I want you to think about something when we pull duct tape off here. We're going to take two pieces of it. Okay, you hold that piece. And then someone, you want to hold that piece? Now, Lashane, what you're going to do is you're going to put that piece of duct tape against this piece of duct tape. Sticky side versus sticky side. Can you tell which side is the sticky side?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Your fingers are getting caught up in that stickiness, isn't it? Can you put that over top of this one? Okay, there you go. Well, no, up again. There we go. Thank you, thank you. So we're going to put that up against that, and I'm going to push it really, really hard together. Now, we're going to make sure there's no... Wow, it gets... tougher when you put two pieces together, and I can't even tear it anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, we've officially reached a new momentous occasion with duct tape. All right, so let's let someone else try, okay? We've got to do lots of things with the duct tape. Someone, you want to try to get it apart? Show me how muscles you are. Show me those muscles. Oh my goodness, you want to try? Pass it to the next person, see if they can get the duct tape apart. Now remember, we're talking about duct tape and how it adheres together, and we're talking about Jesus. What does Jesus offer us that adheres to us, that sticks to us? What do you think? What does Jesus offer us? He showed it to us on the cross. Yeah. So thankfully, the kids can't get it apart. I'm afraid if I had Bud come up here, he may get it apart. So to perfect our children's illustration, the duct tape cannot come apart, and neither can Jesus. Let's fill in the blank there. Jesus, his blank can't be separated from us. What do you think the word is? It starts with an L. Jesus' love. All right, very good. So just like the duct tape, and you can't separate it, we can't separate Jesus' love from ourselves. Jesus' love went to that cross and enabled us to really know what love is. Okay? So that is a really amazing thought this morning to consider. Love and Jesus are inseparable, and Jesus' love and us are inseparable. So his love will never leave us. Isn't that cool? Just like duct tape? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for these children. We pray that they would just understand and come to know how important your love is to their lives. They'll face many things in this life, and they'll feel sometimes like the world's out to get them. But Lord, we know that your love replaces all those issues we have. So Lord, we're just praying your love over these children. And just bless them, Lord. Bless them real good is what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. We're going to turn our attention to the screen for a somewhat comical demonstration of the uses of duct tape.
Don't make me pull this car over. What is this?
What? Everyone went to his own town to register because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary and was expecting a child. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, didn't we all learn something today, guys?
Yes, sir.
Isn't duct tape amazing? Am I the only one that loves duct tape? Duct tape is like one of the coolest inventions ever. Next, of course, to the gift that God has given us through his son. I want you to think about some of the memories that you have with duct tape. I can remember sitting along a promenade, and along comes a duct tape prom dress and a duct tape suit. It was the most stunning and beautiful pieces of clothing that I've ever seen. I remember there was a guy in front of me at a checkout line, and he pulls his wallet out of his back pocket, and you guessed it, it was made out of duct tape. And I believe the comical thing was he was buying more duct tape from the dollar bills within his wallet duct tape. And then probably my most favorite memory of duct tape goes back to my youth days. When I served in youth ministry, we would have various relays that the teams of youth would participate in. And this particular one involved a very large roll of duct tape. You can picture the size of some of the larger rolls of duct tape. And they were given the opportunity to take one of their team members and duct tape them to the wall. So you can imagine how comical that was for us as advisors to see these kids duct taped to the wall. It was very, very hilarious. And I believe, if I remember right, someone remained up there for about 5 minutes or so, if I remember correctly. Don't worry, no one was harmed during this activity, although some individuals in the church did make it known that probably wasn't the greatest youth pastor activity ever. So I do remember that. You won't find pictures on Facebook of that, so we don't want to look for those. But it was a very funny time. Time and time again, we see in the Gospels that Jesus speaks in what's known as parables. The simple definition of a parable is a word picture that illustrates a deeper principle. I love to spend time in the treasures of Scripture and close my eyes to imagine the mustard seed Jesus was holding, or the shepherd that left the 99 sheep in the fold to find the one lost sheep. Jesus spoke of everyday situations to the people who gathered around him in word pictures that they would really understand. Now, in order to fully comprehend them as well as most scripture, we need to take a look at the culture, at the context of that time in history. In our modern day, we don't have a lot of shepherds who understand the nature of sheep or mustard trees growing. Would Jesus talk about sheep and mustard seeds to us, or would he find other professions and other objects to talk about? I'd like to challenge us this week to think of some of the simple objects around you that you might be able to speak about Jesus. All things come from what the Lord has given us, and in all things, when we look with our spiritual eyes, can see the handprint of God. This morning, I want us to consider how much duct tape can teach us about the love of God. A little history. Duct tape was invented back in the early 1940s. It was not widely used prior to World War II. It was purchased by the military for the troops to keep moisture out of the ammunition cases as they trudged through Europe. The tape was really originally called duct tape by its inventor, since it was made from cotton duct fabric, and the backing used made it waterproof. Once the troops were presented with the tape that was made in those army green during those days, they found endless uses for it. They fixed their guns, their jeeps, their aircrafts. They held bandages and set broken arms. They repaired tents and clothing. This tape was easy enough to tear by hand and could be repositioned without losing its adhesive power and flexibility. So what could duct tape possibly teach us about God? God's love protects. God's love heals. When we receive God's love through accepting Jesus Christ, we have been sealed, covered, and protected, just as the duct tape sealed the ammunition cases from moisture. We're sealed, covered, and protected with God's love from the perils of the world around us. As duct tape has more uses than its inventor could ever imagine, we even celebrate duct tape festivals and parades each summer to celebrate its uses. But God's love is infinite. It not only heals the brokenhearted, it gives voice to the mute, vision to the blind. It sets the captives free, and you can fill in the blank as to what God's love has done and will do for you. God's love holds us with strength and flexibility. God's love can easily be shared. It's simple enough for anyone to understand. One doesn't have to have extensive training to share God's love, only to have experienced it before. God's love doesn't restrict us, but like duct tape, it allows us to stretch and to share. One aspect about duct tape, as you saw in our children's moment, is that when you put two adhesive sides together, you'll not be able to get them apart. I'd propose that our hearts and God's love are exactly like that. They're attracted to each other. And even if we try to pull away, and let's face it, we all do at times, we cannot lose the love that God has for us. Love so great that he sent his only begotten son. Yes, I can see it. Can you? We learn much about God's love as we look at the world around us, even in something as simple as duct tape. This morning, I'd like us to turn to 1 John chapter 7. We'll begin in verse 1 to chapter 2, verse 2, and I'll be reading from the Message version. It says, if we claim that we experience a shared life with him and continue to stumble around in the dark, we're obviously lying through our teeth. We're not living what we claim. But if we walk in the light, God himself being the light, we also experience a shared life with one another as the sacrifice blood of Jesus, God's Son, purges all our sin. If we claim that we're free from sin, we're only fooling ourselves. A claim like that is errant nonsense. On the other hand, if we admit our sins, make a clean breast of them, he won't let us down. He'll be true to himself. He'll forgive our sins and purge us of all wrongdoing. If we claim that we've never sinned, we out and out contradict God, make a liar out of him. A claim like that only shows off our ignorance of God. I write this, dear children, to guide you out of sin. But if anyone does sin, we have a priest friend in the presence of the Father, Jesus Christ, righteous Jesus. When he served as a sacrifice for our sins, he solved the sin problem for good. Not only ours, but the whole world's. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the reminder that we cannot take sin for granted. It's something that plagues each of our lives. It's something that each day we try and try to climb out of. But Lord, we know on our own we can't possibly do it. But Lord, we know with your help, by confessing our sin, by allowing ourselves to be honest with you, we know that you'll forgive it, that you'll take care of all of our wrongdoing. But Lord, this morning we rejoice, not only knowing it's our wrongdoing that you've taken care of, but you've taken care of the sin problem for the entire world. Lord, that is news not to keep to ourselves, but news to share with everyone. So Father, help us to think on these things. Help us to be willing to allow our sin problem to be taken care of by confessing to you. Lord, have your way with your word and allow our ears to hear what you would have us hear. In Jesus' name, amen. When we think about it, keeping love and God in line are two of the most trying things to keep up with in life. The balance is so critical that when it's off, our lives become a real mess. These two topics could use a lot of duct tape to keep them straight, and the world could be such a better place. If we agree with God, and I pray that we do, we love in a defined way. That way is through Jesus Christ, whose love is unconditional. If we want to love how God intended, these two can never be separated. The Father's gift of the Messiah, Jesus, becomes our primary focus. He provides us the true comprehension of God. He shows the ultimate demonstration of love. So if we desire to keep the two in line, God and love, we look to Jesus. his life, his ministry, his sacrifice, all point in this direction. But what I'm afraid we see happening in the world today is these two are no longer accurate. They're no longer intricate and enduring. Far too many people have given God and love their own meaning. The God Jesus reveals isn't enough. There has to be more added or taken away. And the love Jesus makes known becomes irrelevant. It no longer remains unconditional and hinges upon the intellect of the human mind. The Father's gift through Jesus has perfect unity in the knowledge of God and love. We distort this when we refuse to be held by a higher standard established by Jesus himself. Our own ideas of God and our own styles of love simply won't reach a dying world. The Father's original design is available to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Especially today, as earthly fathers, may we, for the sake of our children, grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, get this right. Father's Day can be a new start for us, the return to the right way of dealing with God and learning to love through Jesus. As this happens, our homes become an epicenter for joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and love and self-control. There was one particular student on our mission trip to Brooklyn who was full of questions. There seems there wasn't a moment that went by that this youth wasn't asking me something else. And this particular day he asked me, "Out of the fruits of the Spirit, Pastor Matt, which one do you feel is the most important?" And I stood there, and I thought to myself, well, it must be love. Because Jesus' greatest command tells us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love one another as ourselves. But then I thought to myself, as I went through the list of the fruits of the Spirit, if we had self-control, we'd be able to have more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more gentleness, and even greater love. So I looked at him and I said, self-control, in my opinion, would be the most important to consider. But when we look at our verses this morning, self-control is what guides us out of sin. Self-control, however, can only be managed through our priest friend in the presence of the Father, Jesus Christ. Like duct tape, this attaches our sin to the only one who has solved the sin problem for the world. I'd like to close with a story that was told by Charles Spurgeon. He wrote, a certain duke once boarded a galley ship. As he passed the crew of slaves, he asked several of them what their offenses were. Almost every man claimed he was innocent. They laid the blame on someone else or accused the judge of yielding to bribery. One young fellow, however, spoke out, "Sir, I deserve to be here. I stole some money. No one is at fault but myself. I'm guilty." Upon hearing this, the Duke seized him by the shoulder and shouted, "You scoundrel! You! What are you doing here with all these honest men? Get out of their company at once." He was then set at liberty while the rest were left to tug at the oars. You see, the key this morning to that prisoner's freedom was the admission of his guilt. It's surprising how many people in the world today do not feel the need to confess. Many even have the belief they don't sin. Not to admit our sins is to call God a liar. I've come to certain conclusions. The hardest words, the most difficult words in the human language are I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Won't we this morning and the rest of the days of our lives consider the power of sticking together with God and love? As this Father's Day unfolds, may we continue to pass on the greatest gift he's ever given us, his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you. We're not afraid to admit that we've made mistakes. We're not afraid to confess our sins because we gather here in your house. But Lord, there are many in this world who really don't own their sin. And because of not owning their sin, not admitting their sin, they're calling you a liar. But Lord, I pray that gently, lovingly, in a way that you have demonstrated, we would be able to share with one another the importance of confession. Because in that confession, we find freedom. And in that freedom, we find a life that we're able to honor you. So Lord, this morning we sit here, we gather in this place, and we confess to you that we are sinners. We confess that we make mistakes. And during these next few moments of silence, Lord, we pray that you would allow us to know those things that perhaps we're not as aware of, those sins that have crept in that perhaps happened without us even realizing. But Lord, we want to be covered in your blood. We want to be sanctified, Lord. We want to strive to be more like you. In order to do that, Lord, we need to live with a complete understanding of you and love. So, Father, I'm praying in desperation because there's a hurting world. There's a world that needs to know you. I'm praying, Lord Jesus, that you would show us, but not just show us, you would convict us to continually bring our sin to you and allow ourselves to find that freedom. So, Lord, speak to us. Reveal to us what you desire for us to know this day. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your gifts of compassion, of mercy, of grace, of forgiveness, of love. Lord, I pray if it would be that self-control is something we need to deal with more so, that you would help us. Lord, I pray that if there's certain sins that while we're behind closed doors, we commit more than others, that we would remain in the open before you at all times. Lord, it's our heart's desire that we would know you in a deeper way, that we would be willing to experience your love in a powerful way, a love that is so unconditional that it cannot be contained, a love so explosive that it needs to go forth. So, Father, guide us, direct us this day and the remainder of our lives to not only have self-control, but to be able to show love, demonstrate love in real practical ways. Lord, we love you this morning. And we pray that your will would be done. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand this morning to close our service in one of the most marvelous things we'll ever know, the grace of our loving God. Number 151. From Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen.